We're in the middle of a series at the moment on the fruit of the Spirit, and this week is the fruit we're talking about is faithfulness, so we're going to be talking about that in a moment. We're also going to be welcoming some people into membership here at the church, people who want to make this their spiritual home, so we'll be doing that a little bit later on as well. But I thought it would be remiss to just kind of move on with what we've been doing over the last few weeks without referencing some of the events of this past week. And I'm not talking about England beating South Africa at the rugby, okay? But there's been other things that have happened right this week. So it's, you know, it's been a tumultuous week. I think whatever your view on that, you know, however each of us voted, I think we'd all say it's been an unusual election season and an unusual election in many respects. I sent an email out to our church community the day after the election. And I want to say a few words about that, a few words about how we can move forward together as a community and individually as followers of Jesus. In that email, which most people found that email very helpful, comforting in terms of the response that I got back, but also I do realize it made some people very angry. It felt like I was being judgmental or even shaming people who voted for Mr. Trump. So I just want to say a few words about that, not to try and defend it, but really just to try and reemphasize how can we move forward together in this situation. I mentioned in that email some of the things that Mr. Trump said during his campaign about various groups of people, and I know that Mr. Trump was not the only person to say negative things. Okay, I do get that. But what I was really trying to address there is the fact that now that person who said those things is about to become a very powerful person. So it kind of takes on new context, takes on new meaning in many respects. And obviously there's a lot of fear in the country around those issues and some of the things that were said. Let me just stay first off here. And I want to just stress, I realize I'm treading on treacherously dangerous ground and even talking about any of those things, so kind of bear with me. My heart is not to alienate anybody here or to in any way infer that anything other than that everybody, no matter how you voted, is really welcome here. Okay, let me just say that piece up front. Let me say that, for me, this is not about endorsing a particular candidate or a particular party. You know, I have my own political opinions, as we all do, and I also realise that probably some of those might leak out, you know, when I'm up here at the front. But I very intentionally would not endorse any one political party or one particular candidate, and I think that's been the history of this church even before me. And so this isn't about being partisan, right? I'll be very upfront here. I'm not a particularly big fan of Hillary's, right? I don't get to vote. I'm an immigrant. I have a green card, but I'm not a citizen, so I don't get to vote. But I realize that voting in this election was problematic for many, many people, right? So it's not about one side or the other. Let me say again, it's not about trying to shame anybody who voted for Mr. Trump. Right, that's not the intention of what I said in that email, nor whatever the things that I'm going to share this morning. I realize that people voted either way for all kinds of different reasons, right? And I realize that many, many people who voted for Mr. Trump did not vote for Mr. Trump because he said some of those things that seem so hateful to various groups of people. I think on both sides of the equation, people would have voted the way they did for good, loving, wholesome reasons, and also there will be people who voted on that side of the equation for not so good, loving, wholesome equations. So, you know, that's true all around. I think, and I would choose to believe, and I want to encourage us and urge us all together as a community to choose to believe that everybody in this community voted with the priority of love and the interests of others at heart. Okay, one of our values is believing the best about one another. When we welcome new members into our community a little bit later on, that's one of the commitments we make is to is to work through conflict and to believe the best about one another. So let me say that I choose to believe that that spirit of love, the spirit of the looking out for the interests of others over our own, is what prevails in our community, because that's what we stand for, right? That's what we're about. That's a commitment we've made. So I choose to believe that was worked out in the way that any one of us voted, all right? And I think if we could believe that about one another, that's a good ground for moving forward. Now, what this is about, I think, so, you know, I've said a few things about what it's not about. What this is about is simply the fact, as I said in that email, that we now have a reality that the person who is going to be probably the most powerful person on the planet, maybe with the exception of the British Prime Minister, maybe the Queen, but you know, I think it's probably widely accepted that the person who gets this role as President of the United States, I mean, at least they're extremely powerful, so we now have a very powerful person who has said those things. I mean, it's changed, right? It's just changed. And that's why I was addressing that, okay? I'm not addressing that to say that everybody who voted Trump must absolutely agree with everything that Mr. Trump said, and therefore they're terrible people. If you read the email, I did not say that, and I'm not saying that. I want to assure you that is not even in my heart for people, okay? But what has happened is we have this new reality. And many people, I think for good reason, are afraid. Now also, I also realize that many people voted for Mr. Trump because they feel that there are other groups of people who are also afraid, who are also misrepresented. And I realize that. I totally understand that. And that Mr. Trump may represent the interests of some people who, for whatever reason, for all kinds of reasons, feel very marginalized. But that doesn't legitimize or make it okay that he said what he has said. And here's the big issue for me, personally, and what I've wrestled with as a spiritual leader, as to what I should say and whether I should say anything at all, is that it may appear that I, or you know, our leadership, you know, I represent the community in some way, are stepping into a political arena, you know, by saying what I said in that email, or even talking about this today, that I'm stepping into a political arena. I look at it very differently, really. I look at it as a spiritual leader, as a follower of Jesus, both as a leader and as an individual. We are called, as followers of Jesus, to protect the weak, to stand up for the vulnerable, to be on the side of the poor, to be there as Jesus was for groups of people who feel marginalized, feel oppressed. And again, I understand that there are many different ways of viewing marginalization. So as a person who's following Jesus, as a leader who's following Jesus, and following Jesus means being protective like that, when somebody, anybody, but especially somebody with power, says things that sound attacking of those people, we have to speak out. It's like that's now stepped into our arena. It's like politics, if you like, has come into our terrain, and we have to respond. So I feel like as a spiritual leader, as a follower of Jesus, it's the right thing to speak out. And I would say that to anybody who voted for Mr. Trump too. You may have lots of reasons for voting that way, but it would also behove you and all of us, however we voted, to speak out, because we're followers of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. So this is not about being partisan. I'm not saying Republicans are better than Democrats or Democrats are better than Republicans. It's not like an analysis of the election and who should have won and what's fair and all that. I'm just saying that now we have a situation where, whether we like it or not, where there are people who are afraid. And we want to, as a community, I believe, as followers of Jesus, say, this is a safe place. This is a safe place for people of color. This is a safe place for LGBTQ people. This is a safe place for women. This is a safe place for people with disabilities. This is a safe place for people who voted for Trump, right? It has to be a safe place for everybody. And that means that we have to somehow reach out beyond the fear, beyond hatred that may have been generated or exacerbated intentionally or unintentionally. We have to reach out beyond that fear to love. And that was obviously the main part of my message in that email, that we would not give up on love, that we would not give in to despair, that we would not give in to fear, but that we would hold to love because love never fails. And we're following somebody who is defined by love, who calls us to love in the most extreme, radical kinds of ways. We're following somebody who calls us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. So, as a follower of Jesus, what we are called to, again, I would say this to all of us, no matter how we voted, no matter how we feel about the result, we are called to speak up when we hear hateful speech towards anybody. We are called to speak up. It's the easiest thing just to stay quiet, right? But I want to encourage every single one of us to speak up. We are called to act, right? To act in defense and in support of people who are being persecuted. If that happens, right? If we see that, if we experience that, or if we are aware of it. Again, across the board, we're called to make peace, right? Not violence. I'm not here in any way to condone any violence. We have to find a non-violent way of expressing our opinion, of seeking change. And that's in terms of our actions and our language. And we need to be people of love. We need I'd say we need to make love. Okay? Yeah, I think you understand the context I'm saying that in. Okay? That's not giving everybody a license. But look, wherever we can, where can we bring love? And that means loving on our enemies. It means praying for those who persecute you, as Jesus said. It means empathizing, trying to listen to the other. It means disagreeing. We can love and disagree. We can love and resist. We don't have to all see eye to eye. But love is not an option. Love is not an option in this situation. So with that in mind, I wanted to call us to, I've got seven things, right, that I want to call us to. And I think they're all pretty obvious. So it's not a question of having to remember them all. Maybe we can put them up. But that's a surprising one, right, for me to say. So let's pray. Okay, let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for Mr. Trump. Let's pray for the current administration as it transitions out, the future administration as it comes in. Let's pray for people who are experiencing fear right now. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for ourselves individually. Okay, let's pray. And after the service today, we have an opportunity to gather together. We're going to be over in room 202, and in that room we're going to spend about 30 minutes praying. So after the service, we can all head out over there. Let's look after one another, okay? Let's reach out to one another. Let's reach out to those who are different to us, okay? Who maybe see things different. But let's look after one another however we voted. Let's listen. Let's seek to understand as well as being understood. Let's care for one another, right? Because these have been difficult times. Let's look after ourselves. This is a really big one because if we have one thing in common right now is that we're all stressed out, right? I mean, there's such tension in the nation that we're all tired, we're all angry in different ways, upset in different ways. So let's look after ourselves. That means, I think, taking time in silence, in solitude, to reflect on what's going on in our own hearts, getting in touch with our own emotions, what's happening there, and giving ourselves space to let the Spirit of Christ in, to let love in. And then we begin to act and talk and respond out of that center rather than a more stirred up center. Okay? Let's take action. And I will reference what I said earlier there. Let's speak up. Let's act out when we need to. Let's make peace. And let's be loving. Let's pursue love at every cause. Okay, here's one. Be careful with social media. I'm not on social media, much to many people's annoyance. But I'm more glad than ever that I'm on social media right now. So I don't want to be hypocritical by talking about social media when I know nothing about it really, but I just know that that can be exhausting, and it's very easy to say things and throw in comments, right, when you're not sat face to face with that person. And so I'm just saying be careful. I'm not saying get off social media. I'm just saying let's be careful about how much time we spend there and also the kind of conversations that we engage in social media. Number six, never, ever, 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 ever give up on love and hope. I'm going to be really honest with you right now. I feel very tempted to despair. And I think all of us probably feel that for all kinds of different reasons. I feel very tempted to give up on love. Right? Just being honest with you. Does it really work? Does loving your enemies, does turning the other cheek, does praying for those who persecute you, does that really work? Yes. Choose to believe yes. Never give up on love. Never give up on hope. This is a choice for us to make. A choice for despair, a choice for fear, or a choice for hope, and a choice for love. And I want to encourage us, let's choose love. Let's choose hope. That's what our vision is about, right? Our vision is about following Jesus. It's about heaven on earth. It's about believing that we can be better, that people can be better, that there's hope for the world. And we have that hope because we believe God has hope for the world. And then finally, and this sort of leads us into, let's be faithful to the way of Jesus. Okay, our theme today is faithfulness. Not giving up on love, not giving up on hope. That's a faithful act, right? Remaining true to this. So I just want to, again, say we're not here to shame anybody, to point the finger at anybody. We are here to say that whatever happened, some things have been said that were just not right. Nobody has a monopoly on saying things that are just not right. Many people have said not right things, but we have a situation where a very powerful person now has said some things that we need to be sensitive to. We need to look out for one another, especially look out for those who are feeling vulnerable, those who are feeling persecuted. I believe if we follow these, I mean, this isn't a foolproof formula, but if we do more of these things, I think we'll be more likely to bring reconciliation, more likely to find a hopeful way forward, more likely to find a loving way forward. All right, so we're just going to take a moment. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take a short break. And in that break, we've got an opportunity to either, you can do one of two things here, either chat with the person next to you about what I'm going to ask in a second, or you can get up and write something down. We have some pieces of paper. Are they on both sides, Ruth? Yes, we've got, by the doors at each side, there are some pieces of paper. Here's what I want us to reflect on. What's one thing we can do this week to contribute love to all that's going on in the sort of the political tumult of the country right now? What's one thing we can do to contribute love? Okay, and you could talk to the person next to you about that. I would suggest do not talk about who you voted for, and let's not get into all that. Okay, it's just focus on positive this week specifically. What can you do? If you'd rather not talk to somebody about that, and that's totally fine, you can get up and just go over and get a piece of paper, write it down, leave it in the basket. It's also totally okay just to sit where you are on your own, silently. That's also fine. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll just take a quick break. We come to you as fragile human beings. We're conscious at times like this of our humanity, our brokenness, our inability to get along, our inability to work things out. Lord, we're also conscious at this time of so much fear and hurt. And Lord, I pray that you would come and comfort your people, which is everybody on this planet, that you would come and bring comfort, that, Lord, your love would overcome fear. Lord, I pray that your love would overcome fear that leads to despair and withdrawal, and that your love would overcome fear that leads to hatred. Lord, let your love overcome. And God, we just give ourselves to you as fragile human beings who can be bearers of that love. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Heal us. Heal the divisions in this country. Lord, help us to lead by example and to set a tone that shows there's another way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let's just
take a short break again. I mentioned at the beginning, we're coming very close towards the end now of a series that we've been in on the fruit of the Spirit, which is taken from a passage in Galatians, chapter 5 of Galatians, where the writer there, a guy called Paul, talks about the product of living a life that's full of God. And he talks about that. If we're full of God, if we've really let God work in our lives, then we'll be loving, we'll be full of joy, full of peace, we'll be patient and kind and self-controlled, and all those great fruits of the Spirit, as they're known, that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And today we're looking at faithfulness. We have some material, and I particularly want to emphasize the material today because I'm going to cut this really short, right? But if you look in the material this week, we have these workbooks. I think we still have some copies outside. If not, you can certainly download this offline if you don't have a copy of this. But what we've been doing is meeting in groups during the week, or some people have just been meeting in ones and twos to discuss the discussion questions that are related to each topic each week. What we're doing now, in the last part of this series, for this last couple of weeks, is rather than having discussion questions, there's exercises, there's sort of personal reflections. And I just want to encourage everybody to look at those. If you go to page 30, not that you have a copy of it with you now, some people might do, but if you go to page 30, or actually 29 is where the chapter on faithfulness begins, what we've got there is a reflection on what's called a pathway to faithfulness. And what we'll do this morning is we're just going to look at this pathway. That's all we're going to do. So there are other things we could talk about regarding faithfulness, but I want to talk about this and look at it, and we'll just be 5 minutes, let's say, that's what we'll do, and then we'll have communion together. I want to look at this from the perspective of looking back, actually, at all the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Like, we've been talking about the different fruits. We've been talking about wanting to become a person that reflects those fruits more wholly, more authentically. We've also, actually, looking ahead a bit, we recognize that the description of fruit in that passage isn't exhaustive. You know, next week, we're going to, especially as we head towards Thanksgiving, we're going to be talking about gratefulness, which isn't on the list, but that seems, of course, that's a natural outflow of the Spirit of God working in us. So it's not like the story ends, but we're going to sort of look back a little bit at some of the things that we've done over the last few weeks and think about, okay, how can we form habits? How can we put some structure around actually intentionally nurturing those things in our life? Okay, how can we... What can we do to not sort of just think, oh, that was great, that was interesting, and then move on? You know, life kind of rushes us around and we'll get whisked away by the next thing that's coming down the pipe for us, right? We've all got busy lives. We've all got important things to do in life. Well, how do we pay attention to this? And I've got another 7 things. You know, 7 is the number of perfection, the number of God, so I tend to work in 7s, not always, but... But there's 7 things that I think, again, this isn't a foolproof pathway in any sense, but my guess is that if we did more of these things, we might be more likely to be faithful in our pursuit of God, our pursuit of becoming a better person, our pursuit of exhibiting these fruits. So let's just look at these. I'm going to read them, because they're all in the workbook as well. So they'll appear up on the screen. The first one is love. Okay, I think that's a great starting point. This isn't like a linear pathway, or where do this, then this, then this, then this. These are just sort of all elements to the pathway. So the first one, love. Knowing and experiencing that we are completely and unconditionally loved by God. Okay, so you know, we all have different messages that we've internalized ourselves, that other people have given us. Messages from the world, messages from our family, messages from our upbringing, whatever it is, that either suggest to us or shout at us that we're not lovable, that there's something wrong with us, that we're not good enough, we're not this, we're not thin enough, we're not fit enough, we're not young enough, we're not whatever it is, there's something wrong with us. And that is totally contrary to the way of Jesus. Jesus told us that God loves us. God loves us completely. So finding some space and time and intentionality around receiving God's love and letting God's love sink into us is an important part of faithfulness. Now, we've talked about this a number of times throughout the series, so if you check back, there are exercises in this workbook that are focused on receiving God's love. So, you know, that might be something we particularly want to pay attention to as we seek to experience God's love. Next one, honesty. Like, we're loved, but we also have to recognize that we're broken, right? None of us is perfect. And being honest about our own lives and being real about that with ourselves and at times with other people, sometimes that can be a very healing thing, to be honest about our own brokenness, our own difficulties, our own struggles, our own failures. Sharing that with somebody else can be a way of sort of breaking the power of those things in our lives. We've talked about this a little bit before. So honesty, love creates space for us to be honest. It's very difficult to be honest when there's not love, right? We understand that when we want to talk about ourselves in an atmosphere where we don't necessarily feel accepted and loved, it's very difficult. Same with ourselves, right? It's very difficult to be honest with ourselves when we're very critical and unloving towards ourselves. So love and honesty seem like key things here. Surrender, okay? Not trying to fix ourselves the best way we or others see fit, but embracing silence and stillness to hear and receive what God is saying to us. In other words, let's go to the source to find out more about ourselves, to find out more about reality. You know, in an atmosphere of love, in an atmosphere of honesty, we know that we need to change. But by surrendering to God rather than just trying to fight or do better or pull our socks up or try harder, by surrendering to God and opening ourselves up to God's Spirit and letting the power of God into our lives, we're much more likely to change for the good. And that's where, again, lots of practices in this workbook around being quiet, silence, and being on our own, solitude. Not that we would live our whole lives like that, but we all need times like that in our lives. We need that kind of momentum in our lives in order that we can begin to turn off some of these negative messages and embrace God's love and receive something that comes from a much deeper source, from love and light that comes from God, right? Rather than fear and darkness that comes from somewhere else. So this surrender is key to everything that the writer Paul is saying in that book of Galatians. We've talked about this frequently during this series. This is not about, now just go out and do better, try harder. This is about tapping into a source that can empower us to be different. And surrendering to that source is key. That leads on to practice. Okay, so we surrender, but it's not like we just don't do anything. We practice. We do things that are going to help us in that way. Developing spiritual habits or disciplines. Again, this is all in the workbook. Developing spiritual habits or disciplines that intentionally open us to God's presence and action within us. Being proactive about those things, right? It's very difficult just to be silent and on our own and to experience God's love, right? That's not easy. It's very difficult to be silent and not get distracted by all kinds of other things. So there are practices, techniques, ways of doing things that help us to be silent, to be on our own, and it be productive. Again, this workbook is full of those kinds of practices. So you might want to go back over some of the ones that we've done each week and think, that one really helped me, that one really worked. We have some of these practices up on our information about them up on our website or and in other discipleship materials too. You may want to check out maybe some that you've done previously in other workbooks. Maybe things that you've done that worked and have just gone by the wayside. But this is a time for us to, I think, get back to some of the practices that have really helped us grow in this kind of way. Fifth, time. All right? Change takes time. We are not going to change overnight. The kind of change that I need in my life is not just going to happen like that. It's going to require me to faithfully give myself to this for the rest of my life. I think we all get that about change. Change is difficult. But the trouble is, we just lose heart and we give up and or we give into despair or we just we lose courage. And so, you know, it's so easy for it to slip away. But let's all accept that this is going to take time. That's normal. We're not going to change overnight. And that's going to mean that we can be a bit more accepting of ourselves because we're not finished yet. And it means that when we encounter somebody who really annoys us, we can be a bit more gracious there too because they're a work in progress and change takes time, right? So we can be a bit more gracious to ourselves and to one another when we factor that in. Sixth one, healing. And what I mean by that is sometimes we get stuck, right? We get stuck in ruts, we get stuck in habits, we get stuck in addictions, behaviors, patterns of behavior. And sometimes we need a kind of like a burst of energy. We need to get super help. And that might be in the form of talking to somebody, confessing something, opening our heart to somebody, maybe even going getting some therapy, maybe joining a support group. This action we might need to take. This is a great opportunity. A faithful action we can take is to get help, to get the help we need, get the healing help that we need. Again, if you feel like you're in that kind of situation, you can talk to me, come talk to anybody on pastoral staff. I think Melanie, do you want to stand up, Melanie? Melanie leads our prayer and healing ministry and has many resources available for people and can also refer people on. So there's no need for any of us to be lost or on our own in a situation like that. And then finally, community. The fact that we need one another. We can't do this on our own, right? We can't make this happen without other people. We need one another. I need you. Believe it or not, you need me. Hard to imagine, I know. But we need one another. And, you know, and I think there's a lot of emphasis put on, you know, and praise given to people who've made it on their own. You know, that the culture can tend to sort of put people like that up on a pedestal, whereas I think the norm, the healthy response to life is, can I help you? Could you help me? That's not weakness. That's just being real. It's recognizing that we're not independent, that we have an impact, and people have an impact on us, and that can be a beautiful thing or it can be a destructive thing. Let's work together in love to help one another, support one another. So I want to encourage you, if you're feeling lonely or you're feeling outside, find some friends. And we have vehicles for that to happen at Cedar Ridge. You know, there are different groups that meet. We have different events that we run that can lead to friendships. And I encourage you just to take a step in. And I want to encourage everybody else. You may feel very much on the inside. You may feel very included. You may feel, oh, this is my home. I'm very comfortable here. I encourage you, invite others in. Look to welcome people in from outside our church, for sure, but also from within. Like, talk to people, invite people into your circle who maybe you haven't done that yet, people who may seem on the outside. That's an important act of faithfulness for all of us. So we're going to come to communion now. At a time when we're sort of, as I said, we're coming towards the end of this series, and we're reflecting on our need for transformation, our need to be different people. And we're also coming into it, as we were talking about at the beginning, we're coming to communion right now at a time when there's a lot of pain, a lot of angst, a lot of fear, a lot of heartache in our country. And I want us to think about a couple of things. You know, this is nothing novel. We've talked about these many times before when we come to communion. But when we think about communion, the bread that signifies the body of Christ, the blood that the wine or grape juice that signifies the blood. These are very graphic symbols, right? Very graphic symbols. And they constitute a meal, and we're coming together, right? We're coming together around this table. It's an unusual meal, right? Because it's a tiny little bit of bread and a little bit of grape juice. But that's what it represents. It represents communion together. So as we come forward, we're participating in humanity, right? We're participating, saying we're all one together. And that means everybody in this room. It also means when we buy into that bread and when we drink that grape juice, we're acknowledging that we are human beings with everybody else around the planet. We are one. This is God's vision for humanity of oneness. We're also participating in divinity. What we're doing when we come up to take the bread and wine is we're taking the body of Christ in. We're taking the blood of Christ in. These graphic symbols that somehow internalize the divine. And what we're really internalizing is the love. That the cross represents everything that humanity could possibly throw at God. If you think about it like this, we threw all kinds of hatred and violence and fear and angst and bitterness, and we threw it all at God. And Jesus takes it all and only loves. The only response is love. There's not a response of fear, there's not a response of hatred, there's not a response of darkness. It's love. And love triumphs. Love overcomes. Love never fails. So we are coming here to internalize love. We're saying yes to love. We want to take it down. We want to swig it down. We want to chew it down. We want love. And we're participating in the most powerful force in the universe, the divine force, the divine being, the divine essence. God's self, this morning, as we drink it and as we eat it. And perhaps more than ever, we need that, right? We need that. We really need it. So I'm going to pray, and then please come forward. You can serve one another at the front here and at the table here. All the